Oh, there we go. Julie Zilke. I'm going to turn around so she can say hi to you. Wave to her, to Julie Zilke. Yeah, all right. Very good. Love technology. Julie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
St. Louis, Missouri. Yes, okay.
You got it.
Welcome to chapel. Julie is a 1996 grad, married, mother of 8 children. Whoa. Yeah, give her some loving for that. Yes. Way to go. Hey, Julie, we're glad you're with us today. Thanks for being a part of chapel today. Do you remember the chapel days when you were here?
Absolutely, I do.
Very good. So, Julie, do this so we can do a little introduction. Tell us a little about your life before you came to Hope, and then why you came to Hope College way back in the 90s.
I know, most of these students were born when I came to college, I realized that. So that's crazy. But it doesn't seem like that long ago, actually. So yes, before Hope College, I lived in a small town, the name of Chelsea. Some of you may or may not know that town. But I grew up, mom, dad, one sister, but I had never heard the gospel. I was not a Christian growing up, and so you might wonder how in the world I ended up at Hope College. I was actually accepted to the University of Michigan and was supposed to go there. It was quite an honor to be accepted, and I had enrolled. But at the last minute, a teacher of mine that I really respected just encouraged me to check out Hope College. And just to honor him, I said, okay, fine, but I'm sure I'm not gonna, you know, like anything about it. So I went late in my junior year, but I was really shocked because I fell in love with a ton about it. First, the size. It was a much smaller campus than University of Michigan, and I was used to a smaller town, a smaller high school, so I liked that. And then actually the size of the people. The people were tall at Hope College.
Oh, yeah. You loved that, didn't you?
I did. I'm 5'11", and I was always the tallest person around, and my roommate at Hope was 6'2".
Nice. So your people were here. Yeah.
My tribe. I found my
Your tribe. Tribe. Yeah.
Yes. And then I actually was intrigued by the religious component, I would have called it at that point. And I love that it wasn't mandatory. I was going to have to take maybe a couple of religion courses, and I could go to chapel if I wanted or not. And so I came home, and I thought about it, because at that point, there was no praying going on in my life, but I thought about it. And I decided to go. And so I showed up at Hope, 1992.
Wonderful. So you came really to Hope for academic reasons, and your tribe of people were here. But during this time, you got exposed to faith. Tell us a little about that, too.
Yeah, I did. So the first 2 years, not a lot going on there. I actually would go to chapel, and you guys probably are not going to believe this, but there were maybe 10 people there. There was nothing going on in the chapel world. That had not started. And my junior year, I returned back to the campus, and I came back for a summer intensive, and I was a heartbroken young woman. I had built my life around a relationship. And, you know, when we don't have God in our life, we will find something to give us meaning and purpose. And I had found a relationship, but that had ended. And I was really just kind of a shell of a person. So every evening I would come back to a little apartment that I was staying in up above 84 East, I believe. I don't know if that restaurant's still there.
Yep.
Okay, well, it began when I was in college. So I stayed there. And I remember calling out one night to a God that I really barely understood. I mean, I didn't know the story of the gospel. I had only actually ever heard the name Jesus when my dad was using it as an expletive.
Oh,
that's story.
Probably not a good introduction to Jesus. Yep, okay.
Oh, that's really, I mean, so you think people like grow up in America, certainly they know the gospel, but I really didn't. But I knew about a God. So I called out very feeble prayer, didn't tell anybody about it, right? And I went about my year. So junior year starts, and something's going on with the chapel program. There's a man by the name of Paul Boersma that's been hired, a man by the name of Ben Patterson, and Dolores Nasrallah, and Dwight Beal. And this whole chaplain team had been assembled, and something's happening. And I go to the Dibnit Chapel for the first time to go to what you're sitting at right now. And I walked in, and there were literally hundreds of students there. I had never heard Christian music before, believe it or not. That was the first time I had experienced worship music. I walked in and there were all these students there praising God, and it was such a powerful witness. So that was really my first exposure to learning about God and the gospel. And then there was a woman by the name of Kim Ebright, who I barely knew, and she lived down the hall from Phelps, or in Phelps from me, and we had one class together, but she walked into the Department of Modern and Classical Languages, where I worked, and I was I helped out there with Professor DeHaan, and she said, I know this is going to sound strange, but I wanted to invite you to be a part of a Bible study I'm starting. And I thought, oh my goodness, yeah, I would love to be a part. You know, I didn't say anything else but yes to her, but I ran home and told my roommate that I'd been invited to a Bible study, but I had no Bible. I didn't own a Bible, and where would I find one? And she went out and bought me one, a Life Application Bible. I still remember it was a purple cover, and I sat down. I was living in College East at the time, and I sat down and opened that book for the first time in my life and read. I started at Genesis 1:1 because I had no idea, you know, you start at the beginning, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So I started at Genesis 1:1, and these words like just jumped off the page. I still remember that. And I joined her Bible study, and for that year, we studied the life of John, and I came every week, and I asked questions, and I wrestled with things that we learned about. And I remember Kim saying, Julie, it's okay, because I'd say, I have all these questions. You know, maybe this faith isn't really, maybe I'm not, I really don't have a faith because I have all these questions. And she said, no, that's good. God loves your questions. Keep asking them. Mm-hmm. And so that really just began the foundation of my faith that 22 years later is still living and breathing.
That's awesome. So junior year, you're growing in your faith, you're around a good group, community of people allowing you to wrestle, ask questions, had the freedom to do that. So you then graduate from Hope College, and now you don't have that Christian community around you, and you took a teaching job, believe it or not, in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
Great place to do your first teaching appointment. So, yeah. So tell us a little about that. Life in Vegas.
Yeah, right. Life in Vegas. I may or may not have gone to a few casinos while I was out there.
Another story. Yep.
Another story. But yeah, so I went to Las Vegas, and that was so crucial for me because I had, this is such a gift, students, that you have. This, I mean, you're surrounded by so many opportunities to grow in your faith, from chapel to the gathering to Bible studies. But when you leave college, that's when you decide, is this really mine or not? I had began my faith in college, but I walked out those doors and started a job in a new city where I knew nobody. Nobody knew if I went to church or not. That was only my decision. But I did. I went out to Vegas and I found a church. And believe it or not, there are churches in Vegas, and there needs to be, right?
Yes.
But I was actually baptized out in Las Vegas by myself. None of my family could come, but I did. I decided that this was something and I needed to make it my own. So I began going to a church there, was baptized there, and my faith just continued to grow. I did what I did in college. I found other people that I could learn with and walk with and grow with.
That's awesome. Our time is zipping, so I'm going to ask you one last question, then I'll have you pray us out. So what's one thing you would want to say to this next generation of college students who weren't even born yet when you were here at Hope College? What would you want to say to them?
Yeah, I was praying about that, and I actually was reading the Psalms this morning. We started out breakfast with all of my children around the table, all 8 of them, and we read a psalm today, and this is what I want to share with you, because even though you weren't born when I was there, this truth that is in this book is the same. And it says, why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. And that's what I want to share with you, that you, no matter what's going on in your world, what's going on in our world, we have no reason to be mourning. We have light and we have truth, and we need to let those lead us. We have the light of the world in the person of Jesus Christ, and we have his truth in this written word. And with both of those things, we can be strong, we can be bold, and we can feel confident that we can step out in that.
What a good word. Hey, will you close this out, Chapel? I Can't believe it goes so fast like it did in your day as well, too.
Oh, my gosh, I know, right? Crazy.
Yeah. Hey, pray us out. Thanks, Julie.
Absolutely. Father, what a privilege to speak here today. What a privilege to be able to, because of technology, to be here with all of these students. And I want to ask you, Father, just to move on this campus in this year and the years to come with these young men and women, Lord, let them be ready to take a risk for you and to give a reason for the hope they have. There are people, I'm sure, sitting there today, just like me, 22 years ago, that are just learning, just wondering, wanting to know more about who you are and have a relationship. So I pray that you would bring just even one person to mind right now. For those that love and follow Jesus, that you would bring one person to mind that they might be able to say so to, that the redeemed of the Lord might say so, and they would find somebody that they could share with, Lord. I pray that you would spread your fame and your glory on this campus and that lives would be changed because of it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Julie Zilke.
Thank you.
And you are dismissed. Have a good day.